Welcome. If you're a woman who has a sense that there's more out there for you, you're in the right place. I'm Whitney Baker, host of the Electric Ideas podcast. Somewhere along the line of work and kids, life carried on, but I lost track of my truth. I'm on a reflective journey, and that's what this podcast is all about. Each week, I interview a woman who is lighting her own path and offering others hope. Before our conversation ends, we'll share a reflective question for you to explore. Sometimes all we need is a jolt, a fresh idea, an aha moment that connects us to a sense of possibility. This, my friends, is what I call an electric idea. Welcome back to Electric Ideas. I'm your host, Whitney Baker. So I think a lot of us have had those days, or maybe even whole seasons, where that what's for dinner question haunts us a bit. I have tried meal planning and prepping in fits and starts, but haven't landed on a system that lasts or truly supports me. So that's why I was excited to discover today's guest, Nikita Attard-Vassalo, and have her join me on the show. Nikita is a mealtime strategist who helps busy women, especially caregivers, go from that stressed and scrambling and winging it mode for daily dinners to being well-prepared and organized while feeding their family good food and saving time and money. So today, Nikita is going to share a fresh approach to meal planning and some of her best tips. And spoiler alert, it doesn't require spending half of a weekend day in the kitchen, because that's not realistic for everybody. And even as someone like me who enjoys cooking, I know on Sundays I want to be relaxing or hanging out, not trapped in the kitchen while the rest of my family is off having fun. So if that sounds familiar, I think you're going to find this conversation helpful and refreshing. I think meal planning is a life skill and one I'm committed to continuing to cultivate, not only because I eat more energizing foods when I have a plan, but also because I save a ton of stress and maximize that precious time at the end of the day when hopefully we can come together as a family. I've started adopting some of the strategies Nikita and I talk about in this episode, and while I'm not nailing it out of the gate, it feels really supportive to have a plan and a rhythm and something I'm building towards. So I hope you, too, have lots of inspiring takeaways from this conversation. Let's do this. All right, Nikita, welcome to the show.
Hi, Whitney. Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to chat with you because I know we're talking about meal prepping and planning, and I think it goes a lot deeper than maybe the surface level that people initially think of. So I think we all as moms really want to feed our families well. And to have mealtime be a time of connection and nourishment. But man, it can get stressful when that what's for dinner question comes up every night. And it's really hard to get ahead of. And I think that causes a lot of women stress and even shame. What's been your experience?
Well, first of all, Whitney, I come from a background of not knowing how to meal plan. So I had my first child when I was 19 and I wasn't prepared for motherhood or being thrown into providing for the home, cooking the meals, doing all of the chores. And I felt very ashamed myself because not only did I feel like I wasn't fulfilling the kind of housewife role, but I was under such a lot of stress and pressure that I would end up going out to shop for ingredients daily. My child would just want to spend time with me, but I wasn't even in the mind frame to sit down and spend time with my kid. So I would go shopping. I would end up overspending and buying extra treats for my child so that he would kind of get along with it, you know. We'd go home and I would end up just popping something from the supermarket aisle, from the freezer section into the oven. And that made me feel even guiltier. So here I was, not spending time with my child. Messy house, messy kitchen, late dinner, late bedtime. So I can understand the struggles. One fine day after I met my husband, I decided to make a change. And the most thing that made the biggest difference was the meal planning and the batch cooking, which we'll get into later. And as I progressed and I taught myself all of these skills, I then decided to write a book about getting organized. And I was getting all of these questions on social media about the batch cooking and the freezing and the meal planning. So I have worked with a lot of moms. And my experience has been pretty much similar to what I have been through. It's just so hard at the end of a long day, especially when most women are working as well. Even if you're not working, even if you are a stay-at-home mom, it's so hard to make that decision at the end of a long day. Like, what do I make for dinner?
Yeah, I feel like whether we're working at home as a mom or working outside of the home, we're all working and there can be so much decision fatigue. And by the end of the day, if I don't have a plan, it can be disheartening.
Yes.
For sure. Yes. So I feel like a lot of women have tried to meal plan or prep, and in fits and starts, I want to start by just having you quickly define what the difference is, just so we even the playing field and know what we're even talking about here.
Sure. So when you're meal planning, essentially, you are choosing what meals to cook on which day. The meal prep part is the part where you actually prepare ahead of time so that when it's time to cook, the cooking part is much easier. And of course, it goes a lot faster because your ingredients are not just home. Because when you meal plan, that's one of the biggest bonuses. You have a plan and you've shopped or you've ordered online and you have the groceries at home and cooking is so much faster. But if you want to go that extra mile and prepare some of the ingredients and chop them and have them in the fridge, then when you're cooking, it's actually going to be faster as well.
I know a lot of women almost have become turned off from meal planning because we live in this social media age where you see, you know, 17 bins of perfectly chopped cruciferous vegetables. And I kind of recoil at the idea of spending hours on my weekend doing that, but it would be handy. I think that you've worked out some systems that enable women to incorporate meal prepping and planning into more of our everyday so it doesn't become this big half day marathon. So if a woman is looking to maybe push the reset button, can you walk us through a system and a flow for a typical week that would incorporate your strategies for meal planning and prepping that feels a little bit more integrated in our day-to-day?
Yes, definitely. It's one of the things I stand for, actually, Whitney. The weekends are not made for locking yourself up in the kitchen to meal prep or batch cook while the rest of the family is out having fun. None of that. So what my schedule looks like, and I always suggest for people to start slow. Like if it's their first time meal planning, I would suggest that they start with picking maybe 3 meals for a week and take it slow. Just because I do not want anyone to adopt an all or nothing approach. Start slow, see what it feels like. You'll have leftovers. You'll get invited someplace. You won't feel like cooking. You will order takeout, you know, one day a week. So just start slowly. And what I would recommend as well is to start meal planning ahead of time. What do I mean? Let's say you're shopping on a Friday evening, for example. I wouldn't recommend that you prepare your plan on a Thursday because if something happens, and as moms, chances are something will, then you will end up not meal planning, which means you won't shop, which means that you won't be prepared for the following week. So I like to start my meal planning a couple of days ahead. So I have that leeway. And if something happens, I know that I have, say, 3 days to get it done instead of one day. And that takes off the pressure as well. You know, you, for example, you start planning on meal planning on a Monday, you know, it needs to get done by the Thursday or the Friday, and you're good because you have the time.
Yeah. I just want to jump in there really quickly and say also can feel exhausting if you're a mom who plans the meal, goes to the grocery store and preps the whole meal and does the dishes some nights. That's a lot of time in one day. So I like this idea of kind of getting ahead of the curve. I just wanted to reflect that back to you. So we're going to start a few days in advance, not the day before we actually need to execute a meal. Okay.
Yes. Once it's your first time, I mean, anything new is bound to feel a little bit hard, right? But once you get this into your routine and you can set the reminders to remind yourself to meal plan as well. I still do it myself. I still have my schedule inside my Google Calendar because we're so busy, right?
Right.
And once you have this routine set up, you will start getting used to having a meal plan. And consistency, you know, and just repeating it over and over will help it become a habit. Habits do not form overnight. So just keep it up. Keep the momentum going. Once you see how it feels to have a plan and to have the groceries at home and know what you're going to cook and you have the recipe and you just get in the kitchen, you know, we have a 30-minute recipe and it's in and out, obviously it will help you to do it again. And you will start thinking of your future self and you start repeating the exercise. When it comes to meal prepping, I'm also a little bit appalled with all of the perfect containers in the fridge. I doubt anyone does that. Like, is it staged, honestly? Because it's not very realistic, right?
Right.
When it comes to both meal prepping and batch cooking, I like to use a very different approach. First of all, once a week, I like to pick a meal which I can freeze, say, for example, bolognese sauce. So I will make a huge batch of bolognese sauce. I love to use my slow cooker for something like this. It's huge and I can fit like 5 family portions in there. And then we can have one portion for dinner with spaghetti. And I can freeze another 4 portions in freezer bags, put them in the freezer and write them down on my freezer list, which is essential. Because the following week, when I sit down to meal plan, I will look at my freezer list. And on my busiest days, I wouldn't even dream of trying to cook anything from scratch. So I will look at the list that I have on my freezer, like the stuff that's in my freezer, and I will pick meals from my freezer for those busier days. And that makes such a huge difference. Like pulling out something from the freezer, putting it in the fridge, and just heating it up and adding some noodles, or like with spaghetti bolognese, you can repurpose it into so many meals as well. You can make sloppy joes, you can make lasagna, you can make a Mexican lasagna. You can fill bell peppers and add some rice. So the sky is the limit. And if you do the math and you are batch cooking 1 meal per week, let's say you're doubling it or tripling it, you can easily triple a meal. That means that in a month, you're going to have 3, 6, 9, 12 to 15 freezer meals. So once you start getting into this routine, you will start seeing your freezer filling up with all of these meals. And I can guarantee, because we have members inside our meal planning membership who do this consistently, you won't be cooking more than 3 to 4 times a week, because you'll have so many dinners in your freezer that it just works like gangbusters.
I really like that, because the times when I've been in a little bit more flow and I have something hearty in the freezer, especially in the colder months for some reason too, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can just pull that out and it's done and it's a balanced meal and all I have to do is warm it up. It's like a little gift to myself. And I think it's realistic to just assume there's regularly going to be things that come up and interrupt our schedules as moms.
Yes.
Unpredictable, definitely. You know, suddenly have to make an errand, or this week my daughter sprained her thumb in basketball, so we were at the doctor, you know, things happen, and it's a nice comfort to have that backup.
Again, the all or nothing approach. At the end of the day, everyone picks and chooses the things that they think will make an impact to their lifestyle and the things that they like the most. Personally, I would rather batch cook once a week, because if I'm making a batch of bolognese sauce, it would only take me an extra 10 minutes to make a bigger batch. So I find that I get more out of that. But as I have got used to my process and my whole routine, I have taught myself to subconsciously think about getting a little bit more of everything, in the sense that, for example, say I'm making an omelette, for example, for my daughter, I would buy a little bit more than I actually need, say in the case of eggs, for example, just because if I'm making an omelette, I will prep another one and I will put it in the fridge. And the next day when my daughter wants a sandwich or a burrito wrap, I can use that omelette in that wrap, or I can cut it up and do egg fried rice, or I can have it for lunch myself, maybe as an egg salad. So just thinking about these things that you can easily prep ahead, should maybe chop more onions and maybe mince more garlic, just these little things, they all make a difference because they add up.
Absolutely. I feel like my biggest consistent form of meal prep is if we have a lean protein that we're making for dinner, I just at least make more, because then I know I have something that I can pop on a salad easily for myself to have a normal meal versus the standing in front of the fridge mom meal.
Yeah.
I want to share a quote. You said, "There's no need to make a plan every day. No need to rack our brains. No need to run out to the stores. You've mindfully chosen a suitable recipe, and all you need to do now is follow through." What do you think the side benefits of meal planning are?
Well, the most obvious is saving time and saving money through so many different ways. Because first of all, there's that decision fatigue that, if you really think about it, we spend quite a bit of time sometimes staring at the pantry and opening the fridge and the freezer and thinking about what to cook. So I think that that's big on its own. But also, when you have a plan, you're also shopping less. And that's a big time sucker, like running out to the store. I know people who do it daily. I used to do it daily. Just having to go to the store every single day. And then, you know, the store is busy and then you meet someone and you have to take the kids with you if you have no one to watch them at home. And you're buying more stuff than you actually need, because if you're not buying with a plan, I used to do this myself. I used to do a big shop once a month. So I used to go to the supermarket and just buy everything I thought looked great to put a couple of meals together. And I would fill up my trolley, take everything home with the best intentions. But the truth of the matter was that I didn't use up more than 60% of the stuff that I used, which meant that my pantry was getting stuffed with foods that we didn't consume. I couldn't even see what was in my pantry, and I ended up throwing out a lot of expired foods. And that's such a waste. Also, health is another thing that's directly related, because when you meal plan, you can consciously make sure that you can like include all of the colorful veggies and all of the whole grains and the lean proteins, and just make sure that you're getting, you know, a little bit of everything. And we're lucky today because we have such a lot of shortcuts that we can take, you know, to make like healthy eating doable. You don't need to make everything from scratch. So health is another thing as well. And peace of mind.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about kind of that mix of some of your favorite shortcuts, but also I think a lot of women want to stretch their culinary skills, but get into that trap of being unrealistic with how much time they have. I know I've had certain times where I decide to try a new recipe and we have to leave for a basketball game. And I'm like, well, I guess we're cleaning out the fridge and having this tomorrow, because it always takes longer than I expect when I'm trying a new recipe. How can we balance variety and switching it up for ourselves and our family with also being realistic so we're not putting undue pressure on ourselves?
A couple of things. I think that everyone should have their list of family favorites. And I mean, on busy nights, it's either a freezer meal or something that you can practically make with your eyes closed that you know that the kids will enjoy. And I think that if you're experimenting with a new recipe, there are a couple of things that someone should watch out for. First of all, if you can find someone, you can check out my recipes. Everyone is welcome. But there are such a lot of fantastic recipe creators. And if you really find someone who you can actually, you know, you try the recipes and you're like, yes, this really takes 30 minutes. Yes, this is really simple. Like, not a lot of ingredients. I don't count spices personally because herbs and spices you just add. But if you see that there's a lot of prep involved and a lot of chopping, that's a sure sign that the recipe is going to take you longer than expected, right? And you can even take shortcuts beyond what's being presented to you in the sense that, for example, frozen veggies, they get such a bad rap. But in fact, I think that it's something that everyone should have in their freezer, because if you are tight on time and you want to make a dish which includes veggies, rather than opting for something store-bought and ready, I would rather opt for the frozen veggies added to my dinner and I'm still making something nutritious. When you're eating frozen veggies, I mean, these vegetables, they are flash frozen at source. They are cleaned, they are prepped. It's magical. Like right now, I have a slow cooker full of broccoli soup. My daughter wasn't feeling well and she wanted broccoli soup. So my husband stopped at the store on his way back from work. And I literally have a huge slow cooker. I prepared the soup in 10 minutes. I used frozen broccoli, frozen garlic, frozen onions. I just prepared the potatoes, added the herbs and the spices and the beans. And it's done, 10 minutes. I have 4 family portions over there waiting for me.
Sounds delicious. I'm like, I'll see you for dinner.
If you want to try it, you should add some vegetable stock as well. Not a lot of that, because the slow cooker produces a lot of condensation when it cooks. And soak some cashew nuts. And then when it's ready, add the cashew nuts and blend. It's delicious.
So I feel like you've mentioned your freezer list. I know we have our grocery list. We've got our lists of our, you know, family favorites, whether that's mentally or written down. Sometimes I feel like it's all the lists. Is there a system or tools? Do you do it digitally? Do it on paper? I know that it could look very different and it really depends on the preferences of a person, but I'd just be curious what tools you use to keep it organized.
Personally, I am all for digital. For the people who prefer paper, I would suggest that if they're using a paper planner, all of these things go inside their paper planner. So at least they don't have 10 different notebooks with 10 different things. So I would suggest that you stick with the system that you're using. I'm using digital, for example, so I have a spreadsheet with all of these things. And my meal plan goes on my Google Calendar, which I think is so perfect, because the most important thing when it comes to meal planning is that you are mindful of the time that you actually have to cook? Because sometimes we're like, oh, yes, I will make lasagna on Wednesday. But in actual fact, you only have 20 minutes to cook on Wednesday. So maybe that isn't the best idea. So putting your meal plan inside your Google Calendar ensures that you can see what's going on. It's also easy to switch around days, which will happen. And you can also link to the recipes. And I also copy paste the recipe and the ingredients into the notes. So when I need to prepare my shopping lists, it's so easy. I have my phone with my shopping list app in one hand. I'll click on the dates and I can see the ingredients right there in my Google Calendar day by day. So I can put together shopping lists in 5 minutes flat.
That sounds pretty seamless. You mentioned the slow cooker. I feel like a lot of people turn their noses up to slow cooker. I use it sometimes because I like to have something warm and I like to sit down for family meals, but my kids are getting a little bit older. And the reality is that sometimes they have sports in the evening and I like to have, you know, something that they can, it just has created ease in this phase of life. What are some of your favorite slow cooker recipes that your family is enjoying? I think sometimes we just need a little inspo too.
A lot of people think that the slow cooker, in fact, is made for winter time and fall time, but I gladly use it all year round. So in summer, I love to cook like taco mince in it, and you can spice it up with all sorts of different spices and sauces, or pulled pork, pulled beef, pulled chicken. I make a Mexican one, an Asian one. You have so many options, and then you can use them for salads, for sandwiches, for enchiladas, for tacos. And kids love these kinds of recipes, right? They're always a treat. And you can also include the fresh salad or the vegetables as well. So everyone is getting all of the nutrients that they need. I also love it for pasta sauces. I mentioned bolognese, but you can make practically any pasta sauce in your slow cooker as well. I also make a mean lasagna in it. If I want it to be ready the minute I walk through the door, I'll make it in my slow cooker. Chilies, like chili con carne, is lovely as well. Honey garlic chicken is another favorite. And of course, soups and stews. I mean, they're the classics. You just have to be careful with the amount of liquid that you add. Approximately, it should be like if you're converting a traditional recipe into a slow cooker recipe, I would suggest that you reduce the liquid by 60 to 75%. You can always add more at the end if you like. But having a watered down meal isn't very attractive.
Right. No, thank you. I'm taking notes and this is inspiring me to get back on the meal planning horse. I want to move on, but before we kind of move on, is there anything else in terms of meal planning and prepping that you share with your clients that you feel like has really led to breakthroughs that helps them just create these sustainable, supportive systems in their own homes that you haven't had a chance to touch on?
It's just, I tell people to just get started, basically, because a lot of us have this mind block. We say that, for example, meal planning isn't for me, or I don't have time to meal plan, when in actual fact, it's like you're investing your time. You are going to spend a little bit more upfront until you get used to it. But if you have your list of family favorites and you're realistic and you start slow, even just planning one meal a week will make a difference if you're not meal planning at all. So just start slow, baby steps, and you will get there.
That's very encouraging. Thank you. I know that beyond meal planning, you also share a lot via your website and your blog about just tools and systems that help moms feel more in control and more organized and like their life is a little bit simplified. And I'm just wondering if you could share some of your own game-changing systems or habits that have really helped you move the needle and feel more on purpose and in control so that you can free up time to do things you're passionate about or actually spend time with your family.
Yeah. Gosh, there's a lot. So I will try to minimize it and give you my best tips. First of all, decluttering, not just your physical space, but your mental space and your schedule. We have to learn to say no. We cannot say yes to everything. I know it's hard sometimes. I am a recovering people pleaser, so I can totally understand. But for everything that we say yes to, you're saying no to something else. So that I find is key. And once you've decluttered, then you can organize. So whether it's your space, whether it's your schedule, whether it's your thoughts, after you've decluttered, then you can start to organize. And when you're planning, I always like to start with the big rocks. So what's the most important thing that you want to make time for? Work, family, food, maybe a hobby, self-care, whatever it is, start with these big things. And then once you can see realistically how much time you have left, then you can actually see what time there is for all of the little rocks and the sand that goes in between. One last thing as well. We talk a lot about balance, but unfortunately, it doesn't really exist. But there's the good news. We have to stop feeling guilty about using a kind of pendulum, because I believe that in some phases of life, family is more important. And then in other phases of life, work gets priority sometimes. So as moms, we want to do everything. We have to be okay with prioritizing as we see fit. I'm sure we all have our best in our kids and our family's best intentions in mind. So just swinging to whichever side we feel it's most important, whichever phase of life we're in, that's totally fine.
I really like what you said about the big rocks, because I'm a visual person. And I think sometimes we just want to do so many things that we overcommit. And it's really helped me to put things, you know, whatever is the biggest priority of my season, to actually put it on my calendar and look at my calendar before committing to things and putting those big rocks first. Because you're right. Yeah. It's much easier to say no when you literally can look at your calendar and say, I don't have time for that. Because I think when we get into the habit of always overcommitting, we end up not enjoying ourselves anywhere, because we're one foot out the door and we're stretched and we're stressed. And I'm, you know, not to bring it back to meal planning, but this is helping me see that, you know, by putting realistic time for the meals that I want to curate and create on my calendar and being realistic about the time I want to invest in that just because it's important and a priority for me, I think that that will be interesting for people just to chew on. What's your favorite way to take care of yourself right now?
I do leave quite a bit of time for self-care in the sense that I make sure that on most nights, unless I'm working, because I'm in Europe. So when I'm connecting with people who are on the other side of the world, I'm usually connecting with people in the evenings, but I do leave at least 30 minutes a day and I'm usually reading a book. And then I'll do something with my husband, like watch an episode of some series that we're watching. That's my usual self-care during the week. I go for a walk every day, which I absolutely love. And during the weekends, I just need to be outside, you know, fresh air, playing with the kids, camping, hiking, and traveling whenever we can.
Well, this was definitely so fun to connect with you. I know my audience is going to be energized and inspired to tackle what can be a very tricky thing to manage with lots of fresh ideas and fresh thinking. So I know you also have some resources that we're going to link to in the show notes around the meal planning territory. Do you want to talk about that briefly?
Yes, and I think that your listeners will love this because I have prepared everything for them to get started with a meal plan, even if they have never meal planned. So it's a 7-day meal plan that I have on my website, and they're not cooking every day. I also have a batch cooking recipe in there, so that they can pick their quietest day during the week and they can make that recipe and batch it. And there are some other recipes as well, which are really easy to put together. And there's a prep plan, so you know exactly what you need to do every day and maybe ahead of time if you have some spare time on your hands. And there's also a shopping list too. So it's all packaged up in one PDF and it's available on www.themamamanual.com/7-day.
Thank you. That sounds like something we'll definitely want to take advantage of, and I'll make sure to link to it in the show notes. I always end my conversations with a reflection. So either in the areas of meal prepping and planning, which I know were the focus of this conversation, but also in just this overall idea, which I feel like you really embody, of simplifying our life so that we can make time and be clear on our priorities. What's one question women could be asking themselves more?
I think it's, did I do something for myself today? We take a backseat most of the time, unfortunately, especially when we're in the season of having young kids. When my kids were babies, I used to wait for my husband to come from work. And when he came through the door, he expected this. Like, I had prepared him. I'm like, thank you. I go for a shower and just spend 20 minutes. It's just 20 minutes. But just not being a mom, you know, because I needed a break. And that 20 minutes of self-care and just not thinking about anything made a huge difference. So there's always time for some self-care, even just a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. So with you there. Nikita, this was a delight. I know my listeners are going to want to connect with you and follow you. You shared your website. Is there anywhere else that we can connect with you?
Yes, I'm very active on Instagram. I love Instagram. I'm always in there. They can find me at the_mama_manual. And I'm also on Facebook at the Mama Manual.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was a delight.
Thank you. This was so much fun.
I'm so glad you joined me today. If you're looking for more, feel free to connect with me on Instagram at @WhitneyWoman. And if you enjoyed the show, I invite you to support me by leaving a review or sharing it with a friend. Hope you have an inspired day.